So yes, he helps us to know more about Jesus, and as a consequence, helps deepen our relationship with Jesus. And that's what we have, isn't it, with Jesus? A relationship. See, he is Lord, and he is Saviour, and he is Master, and he is King. And yet at the same time, we can call him brother and friend. It's a remarkable relationship, and God the Holy Spirit wants us to make the most of it and to get the most out of it. And so God's Holy Spirit teaches us who Jesus is, what he has done, how we can keep living in the light of all that he's done. But the question is, how then does he teach? How does the Holy Spirit teach? Well, God the Holy Spirit is not limited in ways in which he can speak to us and encourage us and challenge us. Tonight, however, we're going to be considering his main way of speaking to us, his primary way of teaching us. And that primary way is the Bible. And as we'll see tonight, it is the Holy Spirit who inspired the Word, and it is still his great tool in the work of bringing people to Christ and bringing them up in the faith. So let's consider how he teaches. And then we'll focus on two particular areas of application in more detail towards the end. So the question we're answering this evening is how the Holy Spirit teaches. Here's the first. He gives us reliable material. I wonder if you noticed that from our reading that Sue helpfully read. In 2 Peter chapter 1, there were two sources of gospel reliability. Do turn to it if you've closed it. Page 1222, 2 Peter chapter 1. So page 1222. There we are. Two sources of gospel reliability. The first is Peter and others who were witnesses of Jesus' glory. So in verse 16, Peter can say with certainty that what is told people about Jesus is no made-up religion. We did not follow cleverly devised stories and so on. You see, he saw it all with his own eyes. He was there at the Transfiguration. He was an eyewitness of Jesus' glory. Clearly reliable. And yet there is another source of gospel reliability, and it's there in verse 19. In verse 19, Peter draws his reader's attention to something that, as he describes it, is completely reliable, something that they will do well to pay attention to, something that will be like a light in dark places until the day Jesus returns. What is it? It's the prophetic message, verse 19. The message of the prophets in Scripture. Now notice, Peter doesn't say what is reliable is the people. So he doesn't say the prophets are reliable. Notice that. He says it's the message that is reliable. So why is it reliable? Why is it so reliable? Look at verse 20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in a human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So he talks about Scripture as a good Jew would, primarily thinking of the Old Testament, but not exclusively. See, in chapter 3, in verse 16, Peter refers to Paul's teaching as Scripture. Just turn to that. Where are we now? Speaking of Paul, he writes in the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. So he's placing Paul's writing and other scripture together, and he says of prophecy, truths about God and his plan of salvation, says that it all points to Jesus, and none of it came from human will. It is all from God, whose Holy Spirit carried them and their words onto the pages in front of us today. And there are other passages that help us to have confidence in the reliability of what we have in front of us. Take 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. It starts with these words: all Scripture is God-breathed. So the material is divine material from a divine source, God himself. Now, who's more reliable than God? We're getting a glimpse of this at the moment, aren't we, in God's Big Picture, our Wednesday evening course, how the Bible all neatly fits together and neatly points to Jesus and all that is fulfilled in Christ. That was no person's will, how the Bible all fits together, how the prophecies all point to Jesus and then are fulfilled. No person's will. No person, or none of Scripture is the result of a person's random musings, waking up in the morning and thinking, what will I talk about today? No, it's the Holy Spirit's intentional guiding hand. That's what verse 21 is talking about. I was on a plane a few days ago, as many of you know, and it was great. I got up to go to the toilet, as you do, and I was walking, and I just thought, hang on a minute, I'm walking at 38,000 feet, which is a remarkable thought when you think about it, isn't it? Here I am walking, and I'm being carried along to my destination. Complete ease. I'm not doing anything about it. That's the image I get when I read this. But you might have the image. I forgot to put my picture up. There we are. There's outside the window. Marvellous. But you might have the image of a boat, of a sailor, sailing, a great big sail, a big spinnaker. I don't want to start up there. But anyway, a big spinnaker at the front, taking the boat as the wind pushes it forward. You might have an image of a hot air balloon that is being carried along by the wind. Whatever image this gives you, the point is that nothing that we have in the Bible is random or an accident. The Holy Spirit was in complete control, driving the message of Scripture. And so it is utterly reliable as he teaches through the words of Scripture. Scripture is completely reliable because it is born from the Holy Spirit's guiding hand. Divine material from a divine source. Okay, so that's the first way he teaches. Here's the second way. He gives us personal material. So we're going to have a look at another Bible passage. I've got it on the screen behind me. Here we are. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to turn to that here, actually. Okay. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Let me read that. But for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is for us. And not, as I once heard someone describe it to me, as empty words on a page. See, the Bible is personalised. You know how you can get personalised jewellery. It's Mother's Day. Maybe some of you mothers have had personalised jewellery before. I love you, Mum, or whatever. Or necklaces with children's names on it, or something like that. They serve a couple of purposes, don't they? It shows others that it belongs to you, but it also confirms to you that it's yours. Someone was thinking about you when they got it engraved and when they gave it to you. And it's a little bit like that with the Bible. It's a book that has been written with you in mind. As the great reformer John Calvin put it, I'm quoting here, so it's a bit old English, God, in so speaking, lisps with us, as nurses are wont to do with little children. What's his point? That like when we lower our words, lower our speaking, to show children our intention, to help them to understand maybe our love or our intention, we do it because they wouldn't be able to understand our adult speech. In a similar way, if God spoke to us without, as Calvin put it, lisping, how would we understand him? So God accommodates us by stooping far below his proper height. Through his Holy Spirit, God breathes words that we can grasp. It is for us. For our learning, yes, but it's more than that. It is to make us wise for salvation. So you see there in verse 15, on the screen there, it is material for our eternal good. It is material that will teach us. It is material that will stop us when we're going wrong, correcting and training us in righteousness. So it is material that will speak to our hearts, that we would become more like Jesus, knowing right from wrong. It is material that will equip us to be ready and prepared to do God's work on earth, loving each other, living as Christ's disciples, sharing the good news of Jesus. So as we come to the Bible, we can have great confidence that not only has God given his Holy Spirit to give us reliable material, he's personalized it too. We see this again in another passage here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me read verse 12. This is speaking of the prophets from the Old Testament. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. The Holy Spirit directed the prophets to point to Jesus, and all of their pointing was for us today. It's remarkable, isn't it? I wonder if you ever think of the Bible in this way. As a book that has such care and attention in its formation that it was written for you personally, so that you personally would know Jesus, so that you would be rebuked and corrected and trained in righteousness, so that you would not have to live life groping in the dark for the truth. Light has come in the living and active words of Scripture. Of course, then, it's not just for us, it's also for others who do not know Jesus. And one of the great joys of sharing the gospel is seeing people realize that Scripture is for their learning too. Really, in the not-too-distant past, I saw this in a recent Christianity Explored course. People seeing Jesus for who he truly is. That is the point of the Bible. And so as we pick up the Bible, it is given to draw the world to a knowledge of the truth. But we can also delight that it is personal as well, so that we would grow in faith and maturity. I know I've sat in sermons and thought something along the lines of this. I'm really glad he or she is here today. They really need to hear this. I'm so pleased that they're sitting in the congregation. God's really brought them here today. Now, I'm sure that is absolutely right and good in some circumstances. But at the same time, this reminds me that my heartbeat should be, I need to hear this. I need to hear this. I'm glad I'm sitting under God's word. God's reliable word. God's personalized word. Because it is for me as well as others. So God's Holy Spirit gives us reliable, personal material. And here's a third. He gives us precious material. Staying in 1 Peter chapter 1. The bit that I missed off the end when I read it first. I'm going to read it again. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Even the angels long to look into these things. I find this remarkable. All that is revealed by the Holy Spirit, both through Scripture and then taught us through preaching and teaching, is precious because it is of such value that even the angels long to understand fully what has been accomplished in Christ. And we have the God-breathed personal truths in our possession. Listen to this from 1 Corinthians. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep, this is the Spirit of God, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not of the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words. God has been pleased to reveal his heavenly truths to us. And he hasn't hidden the truths of salvation from us. He has, through his Holy Spirit, revealed his gospel, his good news, his plan of salvation, his way to him, his heart for us, his intention in loving us through his Holy Spirit, through his word. I remember starting to work in Parliament for my MP, and I had to apply for access to the grounds of the Westminster Palace. And it took months for my clearance to come through, months and months. And so everywhere I went, apart from the toilet, I had to be escorted around the Westminster Palace. When it came through, of course, it was amazing. It was great. I had this pass that would take me across the entire Westminster estate. And I mean the entire, I could go anywhere. It was quite the pass. It was a serious security clearance moment. Well, for the Christian, it's like that, but better. We have clearance into that which is at the very heart of God's Holy Spirit. Remember from our first sermon? His delight, his joy is bringing glory to Jesus, to shine the spotlight on Jesus. And we have access to the great truths of Jesus and the enormity of his love and his death and his resurrection and his reign today, because we have the Holy Spirit teaching us those truths. So what does that mean today for us? The fact that God's Holy Spirit teaches us by giving us reliable, personal, precious material. Let me suggest two things for us this evening to go away with. Two things this week. And this is a total fail because I meant to get some Bible reading notes. But if you want to ask the questions afterwards, speak to me. But two things for us to take away this week and dwell on and perhaps put into practice. Here's the first. Oh, that was not very good, was it? What? That second one's not supposed to come up second. Never mind, here we go. Be students of Scripture. There's the first. Be students of... We should be students of Scripture. Not wishing for a mere hotline to and from heaven, but to recognise that the sword of the Spirit is the Bible. It is the weapon to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we should have a spiritual hunger and delight that, like Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, we can say these words with great confidence. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, because we have a spiritual hunger for God's word. I was speaking to someone last week who told me that part of the reason a sermon was so important was because it is the only time people will hear the Bible during the week. Can I suggest that that is not why a sermon is important? It shouldn't be the only time we hear or read God's word in a week. We need to be setting aside time each day to hear what God has to say to us. Maybe using Bible study notes. We have some at the back of church. If you want to have a look, I'm happy to show you where. We need to be enjoying reading through his word for what it is: reliable, personal, precious. Quick suggestion I find quite useful. You can listen to the Bible on BibleGateway.com. You ever use that? It's brilliant. You can have Poirot himself talking to you. David Suchet. He reads the Bible. You can go on. You can say, I want to read the NIV. That's the translation we use here in church. And you can go and you can say, listen. Click listen. And you can have the whole Bible read to you. And you can read along with it. It's a great way to read through the Bible if you find yourselves, you know, like me, mind-wandering, and you want to have some precious time in the Bible. So we need to be students of Scripture. Secondly, we should pray to understand Scripture. God the Holy Spirit is not just the originator of the Word. He is that, but he's not just that. He is also the interpreter. So remember what I read from 1 Corinthians, that spiritual truths are spiritually discerned. If we want to understand spiritual realities, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to understand, for us to understand. We need to pray when we come to God's word. He teaches us, and it is important to seek his wisdom and his understanding so that we can live in the light of it. So we have a great teacher in the Holy Spirit who, as we saw a few weeks ago, lives to shine the spotlight on Jesus. And so he gives us reliable, personal, precious truths that we might know who Jesus truly is, our Lord and Saviour. So let's be thankful for our Bible and him who has given it to us now as we pray. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your precious Holy Spirit who lives to shine the spotlight on Jesus and who has given us reliable, personal, precious truths that we might know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And we want to pray this evening that you would help us live in the light of this wonderful truth, to want to read scripture, to want to come before your life-giving word and echo those words from Jeremiah, that your words would be my joy and my heart's delight. And we want to pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be prayerful as we come to scripture as well, that you would help us to understand what you want us to know about your wonderful plan of salvation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to see how precious it is that you have given us access into the very heart of God, that we would know your will for our lives. Please, would you help us never to be complacent about your word, but to delight in that wonderful truth that even angels long to see these things. In Jesus' name, amen.